Thank you, Jesus, for the message you're giving me this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are not only speaking to the church, but you're speaking to me personally. And Lord, I pray blessings upon everyone who came, God. And I pray, Father, that they'll hear it with their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the sermon is set apart. You know, in my kitchen drawers in my house, there are a number of different knives. One is used for buttering the bread. One is used for cutting the vegetables. One is used for cutting the meat. And one is used for cutting the bread. And if I take that sharp knife that is used for cutting the meat and I open a can with it, or I take a cardboard box and open the cardboard box, I get this strange look from my wife. Why? Because now I'm actually using it for something that it was never intended for. It was set apart for a certain purpose. Can I just say something, my friends? You are also set apart for a certain purpose. And you're not set apart for divorce. You're not set apart for sickness. You're not set apart for anxiety. You're not set apart for all kinds of things that goes with. You're not set apart for hell. You're actually set apart for heaven. Amen? So I have this question. How do we become set apart for what God intended us to be in the first place? How do we become in that place where we actually are living out the very things we were designed for? And when I asked that question, I thought, I'm going to look at Jesus, because you may not think of this, but the creator of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, when he became human, his Father in heaven also made a way so that he was set apart. Even though he was God incarnate, he was still, the Father still made a way for him to be set apart. And so, as an extension of this Christmas story, I want to share with you how it happened with Jesus, because it's teaching us something about us. When Jesus was born, 8 days later, it says in Luke, maybe I'll get the scriptures up there, Luke chapter 2, on the 8th day, later when baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus. The name was given him by the angel even before he was conceived. The law stated that when you had a child, within 8 days, you brought him to the temple. And it was a boy, they got circumcised. So this circumcision in the Old Testament was also a way of setting them apart, of demonstrating that they were under the covenant. So they obey the law, and they give him the name Jesus. The name Jesus is and means Savior. My friends, right in his very name, he's being set apart for the purpose. Don't God just give children a name, whatever you think is popular at the time. Think of what it means, because that name can set them into the destiny that God has for them. Amen? Then there is a prophet called Simeon. And he says, I have now seen salvation. He recognizes the importance of this child. And he goes on to say that Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of men, of many hearts, will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your very soul, because he is prophesying about the death of Jesus. How many have Jesus opened your heart, exposing what was inside? Okay, it's amazing how he has done that. Jesus is being destined for the Father's purpose on earth. And he's been given to him through different ways before he even starts that mission. And then the moment he is about to start, he's being baptized. Baptism is a way of setting people apart for God's mission for your life. How many believe that? Then the Holy Spirit comes on him, and then he hears a voice. He hears a voice. God the Father says, "This is my, you are my son, whom I love and is well pleased with." The Father says to you, "You're my daughter. You're my son. And I love you." Do you know that that sets you apart from anywhere else when you hear the voice of God talking to you? How many here got saved? If you ever got saved, you heard the voice of God. I don't care how that happened, but you heard the voice of God. Maybe it was a picture God gave you in your heart, but somehow your heart responded to the truth, and it was God speaking to you. But then comes Luke 4. And in Luke 4, Jesus, it says, he went into the desert, led by the Holy Spirit, by the way. And there he was tempted by the devil for how many days? So we have a recording of the devil asking three questions. But he was tempted every day for 40 days. How do you think he was tempted? How many has been tempted? What is this temptation? It is to turn Jesus away from the mission and the calling and the purpose that God has for Jesus. That's the temptation. How many here has been tempted to turn away? How many here has woken up in the morning and said, "I quit"? How many have woken up and said, "I will never go to church again"? How many has woken up and said, "I don't like these people"? How many have felt the enemy is trying to get you off track and get you down a road that is his mission? How many knows Satan wants to set you apart? God wants to set you apart for his purpose, but so does Satan. And in this picture, in 40 days, he's trying his best to get Jesus off the track. And he's trying to get you off the track. The first temptation is that's recorded is after 40 days, Satan says, "If you really are the son of..." So what is he doing? He's attacking his identity. One of the methods that Satan uses to get you off the track, to begin to use you for something you never intended to be used for in the first place, is to begin for you to doubt who you are. But Jesus didn't doubt who he was. Do you know why? Because from the very, very beginning, even at the conception, his life was blessed by an angel who shows up in Mary's room and says, "You're going to be a big child and you're going to call him Jesus." Or with Elizabeth who blesses the womb, or the shepherds who come. We just heard from angels, Mary. We just heard from angels and they told us that the child, this child is the Savior of the world. You see, a child can experience what is being said, even though they don't understand. In their hearts, they can receive it. Then there is this we just read, the prophet and the prophetess are prophesying with Jesus. We know that when he's about 12 years old, his mom and dad can't find him for 3 days. How many do you like to lose your child for 3 days? And they found him in the temple. And what does he say? "Don't you know I'm about my father's business. He already knows. He already knows what he's set apart for. So when Satan comes to attack him and says, if you are the Son of God, he has no doubt who he is. He is not in question. And then he says, if you are, then turn these rocks into bread. There's nothing wrong with bread. And there's nothing wrong with being hungry. But there's something wrong with doing what God does not want you to do. So Jesus responds by saying, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Every word. How does he respond? He didn't say, I am the most, don't you know, Satan, who I am? Don't you know I'm the beloved Son of the Father? He didn't say that. He did what? He used the word of God. If you're going to be set apart for what you are intended for, you're going to have to use the weapon he has given you, the word of God. In the garden, not the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm talking about in Genesis chapter 1, there's Adam and Eve. And what happens in Adam and Eve? They've been told by God, you can eat of all the trees in the garden. But you can't eat of the one tree. Because if you eat of that one tree, you will die. And Satan comes. And what does Satan do? He said, is it true you cannot eat of any other trees in the garden? And he said, no. We can eat of all the trees except the one called the tree of good and evil. We can't eat of that one because if we do, we die. And Satan said, no, you will not die. Do you know that at that moment he contradicted God? In that moment he contradicted God. And he made them believe that somehow living independent of God would be better. That God was not a good God. He was holding back something. And the moment they began to listen to the voice of the enemy and believe what he said, the moment that forbidden fruit looked so delicious, so tempting, that heroin, that drug, that alcohol, that illicit sex, it looked so delicious when Satan comes in the picture. And you begin to believe that you should be independent of God. And doubting his goodness. And the moment they came in agreement with the enemy was the moment they became set apart for the enemy's purpose. And you know what the fruit looked like? They had two sons, Cain and Abel. And what did Cain do? He killed Abel. And there's a whole line of destruction, of addictions, of brokenness, if you follow the line of Adam and Eve. And guess where we come from? So we were in need of being rescued. So this is what Jesus does. He prays in John 17, 15. He prays before he's crucified. He says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. He's talking about us, disciples. But to keep them safe from the evil one. He knows the temptation. He knows the attack. And you see, Satan doesn't have power unless we give it to him. Unless we come in agreement with what he says. They do not belong to this world anymore. Any more than I do. We are in this world, but we are not of it. So what world are we of? Where are we? Where do we belong? Jesus says to Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. My friends, you need to be born again to be set apart. You need to be born again to be set apart for his kingdom. You become part of another realm that's called his kingdom realm. How many here is part of another realm called his kingdom realm? He set you apart for that realm, for heaven. It says in Ephesians that you're no longer strangers or foreigners, but you are now citizen of heaven. How many believe that's true? Ephesians 2 and 19. So now you're Gentiles, you're no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You're a member of God's family. You are a citizen. You have the Holy Spirit in you, which is your birth certificate, guaranteeing that you belong to his kingdom. How many here has the Holy Spirit in you? We are fellow citizens of another realm. Amen. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us to be set apart. Do you know that holiness? Do you know what holiness means? It means set apart. It means set apart. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. My friends, you are a citizen, but you're also a son and a daughter of God. Let me go further. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, and it came to me because yesterday I was doing a wedding. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or in any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Excuse me, Hans, what is this? What does that have to do with weddings? Do you know what it's saying? That we are the bride and he's the groom. And do you know what he's doing? He's setting us apart that we become blameless without spot or wrinkle. Do you know what happened yesterday when I did the wedding? There was two people who made a commitment to be set apart for life on earth to one another. There was not to be another Adam, another Eve. There was not to be another Peter, another whatever. There was to be those two of them, Susan and Derek, that was making that commitment that they were to be pure before each other. They were set apart. That was how God intended it to be. My friends, when Jesus came, he came to get to look for his bride. Who is the bride? Marlene was talking about that before. The bride is the church. So why is the church sometimes full of spots and wrinkles? Why is the church not always so loving? Because it's not being washed with the word that God has for us. What is this word? What is his word? His word, my friends, is this one. But is this one empowered by the Spirit? I mean, those when you begin to walk in the Spirit, he begins to show you the things that smells, that is dirty. How many has ever had attitudes that is dirty? How many has ever had attitude that did not really look all that attractive? Let me share this story with. I want to illustrate you what this means to be set apart by using the testimony of Todd White and others. Todd White, how many have heard of Todd White? Todd White was a drug addict, a criminal. He shacked up with a girl one day, got her pregnant, and they had a young lady, and they had a girl. And his addiction drove his girlfriend nuts, and she kicked him out. But he threatened her and said, you know, if you leave me, I'll shoot myself. And if you go to be with another man, I'll shoot you and the other man. So she lived in fear for 7 years that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. One day he came home. Just bear with me, okay? I have a point with this story. One day he came home. And he came home and she found she was gone. And so he knew that his brother-in-law had guns. And she set out to go and find a gun. How many knows that this man is in agreement with the enemy? He's set apart for the enemy. This is coming. He sent out to kill, steal, and destroy. And the way to get the gun, there is a telephone booth, and he stops in the telephone booth, and he doesn't know why he stopped, but he stopped, and he flipped open the telephone booth, and there was a church and the name of a pastor. He calls the pastor, and he comes to see the pastor, and he tells the pastor that I'm about to kill myself. And he says, and the pastor says this, well, if you want to give your life away, why don't you give it to somebody? Rather than taking your life, why don't you give it to somebody? And he said, he said to the pastor, don't you hear me? I want to take my life. The pastor says, well, don't you hear me? If you want to take your life, why don't you give it to somebody who wants it? And of course, that leads him to share the gospel. He said, I don't want to hear about Jesus. I want you to listen to me. And finally, the pastor gets to him. And he gives his heart to Jesus. However, he continues his drug addictions. So he phones the pastor and says, well, I still can't let go of my drugs. And the pastor says, well, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you feel guilty? He said, I feel horrible. Take this guilt from me. I said, well, that's the Holy Spirit. Did you feel guilty before? No, I could take the drugs and I felt no guilt. Now I feel guilt. He says, that's the Holy Spirit who is setting you apart. So this is what happened. One day he was desperate for, and he had no money, he ran out of money, he was desperate for his drugs. He went down to a place where he knows some of the people were selling drugs, and there was a young pusher come into his car, giving him his cocaine or whatever it was, and he said, I am an undercover police officer, and you can remain silent, and you can call your lawyer. And he says, and then he kicked him out of the car and took the drugs and drove away. And when he drove away, the kid or the guy took a 9mm gun and emptied it into the car. He got home, shook it up, looked at the car. There was not a scratch, not a broken windshield, nothing. And then he heard the voice of God saying, I took the bullets for you. Now would you give your life for me? And that day, he went to Teen Challenge and signed up. And God brought him on the journey, setting him apart for Jesus. He's now a street evangelist, powerful for the kingdom. And I was just listening to this little YouTube clip the other day. He walked into Walmart. You see, this is how I know that he's set apart. He walked into Walmart, and he sees a man in with a scooter. He's crippled. He can't walk. And he walks up to the man and says, "Can I pray for you?" And the man says, "No, you don't need to pray for me." He said, "But can I pray anyway?" And he said, "Okay." So he prays. He didn't get out of the scooter. But as Todd was walking to the till, he felt God says, "Give him $100. So he gets his wallet out, goes back to the man and says, "I just feel that God tells me to give you $100. Do you know that when you're set apart, when you're set apart for God, it's no longer your money? When you're set apart for God, it's no longer your time. When you're set apart from God, your possession is His possession. Isn't that wonderfully scary? How many have had to release your stuff? So he gives the man $100. He says, "I have a question for you. Why is it $100? I feel God exactly told me to give you $100. Why $100? He said, I paid my bills, but there was an insurance coming up that I couldn't pay. And insurance was $99. So thank you, Jesus." What was Todd White? He was set apart for the leading of the Spirit. How do I know he was led by the Spirit? Because out of him came love. Out of him came generosity. Out of him came compassion, which is the character of God. Amen. Jesus, you know, when the pastor takes out the clock, it doesn't mean anything. Jesus was going to be tempted even more than he ever was in the 40 days in the desert. The temptation came when he was being brought before Pilate, when he was falsely accused, when he was in the garden sweating blood, and he knew what was coming, when they stripped him of all his glory, of all his fame, of all his identity, when they stripped him naked, and he knew what was coming. He knew he was going to be rejected by his own. And it was in that garden when he prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." Do you know why he prayed that prayer? He prayed it because he loved you. He prayed because he knew that if he gave in to Satan's tactics, he could not be a sacrifice. The Lamb of God, spotless Lamb of God, who was slain for the sins of the world. He could not do it if he gave in. But at that place, he was crucified for you and I. So that you and I could be set apart for Jesus, for the very thing we were created to be. What are you created for? You're created to become a son and a daughter of a heavenly Father. You're created to be a bride. You're created to be a child of God. You're created to become one with Him. You're created to submit your will to Him. You're created to be a conduit of His love. Are you ready for one more story? This is a story that Greg Hill tells. And it helps me promote ancient path. It's a story of a woman who was married, and she has an affair. It's a woman about Susan who comes out of an affair. This lady, she goes and has an affair with Ed. And they have a child called Susan. A few years later, they marry, but it doesn't last. After a couple of years, she leaves him as well. And she raises Susan. Ed becomes a Christian, marries another lady, a Christian lady, and they have a family of 3 kids. But he doesn't connect well with Susan, because Susan reminds him of his shame. And so there is a disconnect between Susan and the father, Ed, even though Ed now has become a Christian. Susan becomes a young adult, and the relationship with the dad is strained. But one summer, she comes to live with her dad. She's now 20 years old. And the dad is taking this course that you're going to run called Blessing Generations. And part of that course was to one of the nights to bring in your child and bless the child. Well, Susan comes to this course to be blessed by the dad. I have no idea what's going to happen. But when you see her, you see that she is not under a blessing, under the favor. She's under a curse. She's overweight. Her hair is greasy. She looks down. She looks droopy. She's not. There's no joy in her eyes. And then the father does this. I'm telling you this because this is how a father sets apart his daughter. And he kneels before her. And he says something like this: "Susan, I haven't been a father to you. I have lived my life in selfishness, not considering your feelings at all." Susan began to weep uncontrollably at this point. Her father continued, "When you were born, your mother and I hadn't planned for you. We considered only ourselves. I know that I must have made you feel unwanted and unloved. But Susan, God has shown me that even though we didn't plan for you, He did. You are no mistake, my friends. Even though a child may be born out of a wedlock or an affair, the child is never a mistake. You're supposed to be here," he says. Ed continued, "And then when you were a little girl and your mom and I divorced, you must have felt abandoned and unloved. You needed a daddy, and I wasn't there for you. Please forgive me. I was so wrong. Then as you were growing up, I must have made you feel as though I was ashamed of you just for existing. I was so selfish. All I cared about was my reputation and my ministry. I didn't care about your heart. That was so wrong for me. Please forgive me. Remember on your 8th birthday when I promised to take you horseback riding, and then I had an emergency at the church and never took you. I never made that up for you. You must have felt as if everything and everyone were more important to me than you were. That was so wrong. Please forgive me." Ed went through his daughter's entire life repenting of the things that God has shown him and asking his daughter forgiveness. Susan was weeping so profusely that she could barely choke out the words, "I forgive you," she said. After Ed had finished repenting, which took about 15 minutes, he then began to bless. So what Ed told his daughter was similar to the following: "Honey, I know that most of your life I made you feel that you are not very important to me or that you are even ashamed to me. But today I want you to know that even during all the time I loved you very deeply and just didn't know how to tell you. I've been so bound up with all my own guilt and shame, all past failures in my life, that I couldn't tell you how much you mean to me and how much I really love you. You can't know how many times during your growing up years I longed to hold you close and tell you how much I loved you and how special you were to me. But I couldn't because you weren't with me. So all I could do was to pray for you. Then when I did see you, I couldn't tell you, please forgive me. It continued, when you came into your womanhood, I never let you know how proud I was of you and how beautiful you are. God has made you a beautiful woman, well-equipped with everything you need to be very pleasing both to God and to man. Honey, I am so proud of you, proud that you're my daughter. Wherever you go, I want everyone to know that you're my daughter. You're very, very special to me, and I love you. Do you know what I did to that woman? Do you know what I did to that girl? Changed her. Craig Hill said, I saw a transformation in front of my eyes from this abandoned, rejected woman to becoming a beautiful child of God. She had become a believer about 3 months before this took place. But there was a transformation in her heart. Why did the dad do this? Because the dad had been set apart for God, so that the love of God could flow in and through him to a hurting and a broken relationship. Jesus came to set us apart to become lovers of God, but also lovers of one another. Hello, good morning, my friends. God has set you apart to become lovers of God and lovers of one another, even your enemies. How many knows that God, the cross, is an illustration plus a spiritual thing that took place, but it's an illustration of relationships being restored. It's called reconciliation. Amen. Let's stand.